Now let's understand, where did this practice begin from? Well, the practice of paying bonus, especially in our own country, that is India, it appears to have originated or started during the First World War. So if you remember, in the First World War, I think this was a period of the 1915-1917, yeah, this period when the First World War happened in Europe. So during those times, what happened is Jamshedji Tata, a renowned industrialist, he went to Europe and he understood the technology of how cotton is produced, and eventually from cotton, how is textile material produced. And he, along with other industrialists of those times, they created textile and cotton mills. Now, these were the times when there was, Americas were hit by a civil war, and later on, they did not have that much of a cotton production. So many of the mills, they came to India, especially Mumbai and other regions. So what happened is, these particular textile mills granted 10% of wages as a war bonus to their workers. Now, as you're aware, when there is a war, when it's not even happening in your own country, it's happening someplace else, you are still affected. Forces of inflation, forces of fear, forces of any established stock market crashing happen during the war. Like the most recent case is that of the war that is happening, it's ongoing, which started on the 24th of February this year, where Russia attacked the nation of Ukraine, correct? And we have all experienced a downfall, correct? The stock market went down, then there was a talk of hyperinflation and so on. So to suffice to the workers' conditions, the first bonuses were paid during this particular time by the textile mill owners or the capitalists. The Payment of Bonus Act, post-independence though, was passed in the year 1965 to provide for the payment of bonus to persons employed in certain establishments on the basis of the profits or on the basis of the production or the productivity. So if there was a surplus profit generated, then that particular industry became eligible for paying their employees a sort of a bonus. Yeah. So we have seen this earlier as well in some early chapters of how a surplus can be paid or it can be shared by the capitalists with their employees. Okay. Of course, if there is surplus productivity, bonus can also be paid, because that would also result in a subsequent profit to that company or organization. Okay, now let's look at the set of advantages that accrue out of provision of bonuses to the employees. So one very important advantage is that of an incentive and a sort of a motivation, correct? So people usually look forward to bonus, correct? So a bonus payment to an employee can be used as an incentive, especially in a field where employees must make sales or meet specific goals. So let's suppose a startup in a specific area receives a big order from an established organization to complete some niche work. Now, this particular order needs to be completed in the next fortnight or 15 days and is a seemingly daunting task. But when the founders of that startup, they levy a sort of a bonus, they make a condition: if the employees were to complete this particular daunting task, put it as a challenge, okay, and have it done within the next 25 days or a month, they will receive a bonus. Now people will put in extra hours, they will find innovative methods of how the same task can be done more productively and get it completed. So this becomes a basis of an incentive. Yeah. So they use bonus payments to motivate a sales team into obtaining more sales, Okay, this can be done for the month, the quarter, or the year, or any team for that matter, which is facing a typical time crunch and a challenge to produce a certain number of parts or sell them. The next advantage, which is clearly visible today, is that of appreciation. So bonus payments do not have to be awarded, okay, on a holiday at the end of the year or as an incentive. So this is clearly important. It need not be something which is always a sort of, you know, a particular time. It can be provided anytime, okay? So receiving a bonus payment will not only show the employee he was appreciated for his hard work, but will motivate him to continue. So as per my experience, there can be awards in the form of bonus, like a spot recognition, where a Sodexo gift coupon or a voucher can be presented. Maybe you might receive some movie tickets as vouchers. You might receive some gift hamper, and this may not be on an R&R, okay, or a town hall. It can be provided as a spot award for something done substantially. So this ideally forms a basis for appreciation. After having discussed about the advantages, let's also consider a few critical disadvantages to this form of supplemented pay benefit. Now, if you notice, if bonuses are paid frequently and if bonuses are paid uniformly, it may be costly for the company, because bonuses basically are not an asset. It's an outgoing liability. Yeah, it's something which moves out from the company's reserves. So it may in turn prove costly for the company. So a cash bonus can be costly for any company. A company must calculate whether it can afford yearly bonuses, holiday bonuses, or the use of incentive and reward bonuses, and for how many employees. So as we've seen in some cases of companies gone wrong, where they provided a lot of unnecessary bonuses or incentives to either their employees or their customers. For example, if you notice Kingfisher, they provided a lot of freebies to their customers, correct? Where the company lost a substantial amount of its revenue and could never recover from it. So a company needs to have robust calculations around whether it is truly profitable in order to provide employees with a bonus. Another aspect would be related to the taxes. So when an employee receives a bonus, it becomes a part of his total income at the end of the year. That means the employee will also be paying taxes on the bonuses that he or she might receive. So the tax bracket, if exceeds a specific slab, might create certain problems for the employees in terms of payment of those taxes. Another critical disadvantage may relate to the fairness and the jealousy issues. Now, because bonuses are paid out in several different ways, incentive for meeting goals, maybe performance related bonus, maybe a profit sharing, or the end of the year or holiday bonuses, employees may not always receive the same amount or percentage. So there will be a variance in the bonuses paid to people of different caters, right? So there might be some sort of a jealousy. For example, out of a team of, let's say, 20 people, 4 people are chosen for a conference that is going to happen in Singapore this year. Now the other 16 people might look at this as unfair. They might look at this as a sign of politics, and it may become a jealousy related issue. Some people, even for that matter, might be so deeply hurt that they may not perform in the usual way they used to, or this might be a reason for a turnover at the end of the year. Now we look at the next type of supplemented pay benefit, which is known as a sales incentive. Now we've covered this in a previous discussion as well. And of course, we might have an idea, but nevertheless, we'll just discuss. So sales incentives are rewards for sales representatives for accomplishing their sales goal. In fact, we have had quite a lengthy discussion about this. So if there is a specific goal to be achieved, like let's say there's a mixer grinder company and they want to achieve a seasonal goal of roughly 25,000 mixer grinders by the end of October this year. As you're aware, Diwali is, you know, in the last week of October. So if they are able to achieve the sales goal of 25,000 mixer grinders, they might receive a small percentage of the sales proceeds as an incentive, correct? So there are various programs institutionalized in different sectors of the industry towards their sales representatives. Now, as you know, production is not the only important aspect. If production happens and sales does not happen, then it is just unused inventory, and the organization has to get extra revenues, or they have to come out with extra funds to meet their operational needs. But if sales happens, then that revenue is immediately accrued in the organization's financial accounts. So it's very important that the sales channel performs robustly. The incentive could be, of course, divided into two parts. It may be financial or monetary in nature, or non-monetary, correct? With the underlying goal or aim being the same. What is that? To motivate or to encourage the sales team to meet their goals eventually, which would be useful for the organization's growth and progression. Sales incentive plans have been used since time immemorial. So what this means is that this has been there for a long, long time, spanning many decades, once the Industrial Revolution started. So it may relate to the sale of any specific tangible product or service today to motivate and reward sales teams' good performance, right? Sales incentive programs are primarily used to drive sales. So these are the different ways that an organization aspires to utilize these sort of programs. They can also reduce the selling cost or sales related costs, increment in the profitability, development of new territory. So let's suppose a wire manufacturing company has absolutely no presence in the Northeast, and they work on a small team of people who will be traveling and getting orders from this area. They would also be doing some branding. Then an incentive program might motivate them to do so, as well as enhance margins. So if they don't reduce the cost or provide exorbitant discounts, this margin will remain intact, and in turn the organization will be able to make profits from the products and services that it sells. Sales incentive programs have the most direct relationship to the outcomes, right? Because once things are sold to customers, you can determine what sort of incentive could be provided and how motivated people can play a part in the sales of those services and goods. A sales incentive program, in short, called as an SIP, is very similar to a commission plan. Yeah, these programs are used to incentivize sales professionals, where total sales are not a precise measure of sales productivity. Now, these have been, there in prominent organizations like an LIC, if you see. So LIC, which was established in the mid-50s in India, which came to the fore. So they have incentivized their sales agents, which are the insurance agents. And similar practices have happened, in different industries. So this is something which has come into prominence and is going to stay. So these incentive programs are used to encourage and compensate each member of the sales team as they contribute to the team's ability to sell. And of course, it's not uncommon for members of such teams to be located in physically diverse locations. So when I do conduct sales interventions, sales workshops for prominent Indian MNCs or MNCs, I tend to interact with people from all parts of India. So there may be a gentleman coming from Assam, there may be somebody who's coming from Kashmir or the Himachal Pradesh or the southern parts of India. So diverse locations are utilized for such sales incentive programs. Yeah. So they might introduce the product or the service in their location, and they might also, you know, so they might result in an incremental purchase of such a product to occur in another location. So for example, if the presence is not in the southern part of India of a specific product, then they might create a small sales location where, you know, the products can be shipped, and this can act as a hub. So in this hub, the products can be stored and subsequently sold to the people in those demographics or that specific location. Now we still continue with our discussions about this type of a pay benefit, which is the sales incentive. So there are cases where the sales incentive may take the form of a special prize. Now this, if you remember, has been stated repeatedly, such as a trip to an exotic or an exciting vacation place. Sometimes it's also comes in the form of an outbound training session. So there are various times when people employ the services of consultants to take their people to an exotic location. Year 2017, I was a part of the training that happened for reputed members of Tata Sky, the finance team, and this happened in the exotic location of Ladakh. There were some sales representatives of the Mercedes-Benz Daimler brand where the training took place in Goa. So locations which are domestic or locations which are international or exotic in nature may be selected for R&R programs, for prizes, or even for that matter, programs combined together. Yeah. So these particular incentive examples may be job-related incentives, tangible incentives, and experiential. So sales incentive can be divided further into these specific incentives. Now, what is a job-related incentive? So these are the kind of incentives that are related to the team's daily work responsibilities. So a prominent incentive may be a half day off from the work. Okay. So this is a kind of a cost, of course, to the company, because the salesperson or the representative might be out, but it's like they get rejuvenated and refreshed and they become ready. Okay. Ready to hit their targets in the next few days. So if an off is given for a small movie viewing or to view some particular game or visit their friends, they may come back refreshed and motivated. So this is an important job related incentive. The next thing that can happen in this particular incentive is that it relates to a commitment that someone in the leadership will connect over a channel that everyone can hear, like a conference call or a Google Hangout. So this is also a type of a job-related incentive. So when you get to chat with your managing director, who is several layers above you, but you get to interact with them, that would also prove to be a job-related incentive, and it would pep you up from within. Now we look at the next type of sales incentive, which was enlisted in a previous discussion. which is known as a tangible incentive. Now, what is the meaning of tangible before we discuss this? So it's nothing but something which can be felt, something which can be seen, correct? So here they have a clear monetary value. Like in some places, they provide reps with some sort of a breakfast or some quick eat like milk and cookies. So this client-inspired idea consistently gets a positive response. Some places where I have done consulting, where I have trained, we get to see some fresh fruit as well in their pantry. We get to see certain biscuits in the pantry, certain things like a chas or small bottles of soft drink, which are also provided as something which is tangible. And usually people are given those. Yeah, so prominent organizations also have in the evening a snack break, which is usually sponsored by the organization and employees do not have to pay. Okay, a unique winner's chair that replaces an employee's normal desk chair can also be some sort of a tangible benefit. So let's say the best performer of this year will get a different sort of a chair, maybe an executive chair or something which looks nice or flashy, can also be provided as a part of the tangible incentives. Of course, you know, some of the old aspects like figurines or trophies can also be presented. So sales reps can have a healthy competition in the entire day on making the sales call, and at the end of the day, the winner with maximum conversions receives a trophy. So this may be a daily event, it may be a weekly event, it can also become something of a monthly or a quarterly event. So I remember in the organizations that I worked, this particular thing was pretty common, it was pretty popular. What is also popular is a plaque engraved with the contestant's name. So you get a small plaque or you might get some sort of a mural or a showpiece that you can proudly display at your desk. Yeah. Now the plaque is a sort of a, you know, concrete recognition of the rep's hard work. So it stays there, okay, and can be viewed by internal and external entities of that organization. The next one is what is known as an experiential incentive. Yeah. So there are also organizations that exist today that tend to offer an experience as an incentive and make a long-lasting and motivational experience. Like a manager-led car wash, okay? A prime parking spot that everyone else has to walk by. So you get, you know, some parking spot which is so lucrative that you don't have to worry about it. Lunch with a company president or the MD. So just imagine how prestigious it would be to take lunch with the founder of the company or the president, and it would really serve to be a huge bonus or a motivation which is non-tangible, but it relates to an experience. And just imagine if the president writes a small letter in your favor which you pin up on your board. So that would be one of the best experiences of your life. Correct? Apart from the ones which were discussed previously, there can also be meals and celebrations at the team's favorite venue. So I've observed this has now become pretty common in the IT industry. So on a Friday, if people do not have too much of a workload, they might just move out of office for an hour or so to have a sizzlers at a local joint, or maybe they might just move to a Barbecue Nation joint in the A great cities like a Pune, a Bangalore, a Hyderabad, a Mumbai, a Delhi, and have a quick, you can say, a brunch or a lunch, which can also be memorable. And this is of course sponsored by the organization. Certain places also order for a pizza. So, you know, a pizza might just arrive and people might have that sort of a thing on a holiday, maybe on a Saturday if they're working, or if it's somebody's birthday or they've achieved something special. So without stepping out of the workplace premises, they might enjoy these, which become experiences that are cherished over a long period of time. The incentives like the ones listed above are of course not mandatory. They are not compulsory. However, they go a long way to motivate the sales force. Now, the sales force tends to be a vivacious lot, yeah? Having worked extensively for the last 10 years with salespeople, so they are vivacious, they are upbeat, they are, restless. So if such programs or experiences are provided to them, then they will, work in a motivated fashion. Now, the advantages of such a sales incentive. So many of the advantages associated with introducing in the incentive schemes as benefits are, of course, self-explanatory. We have already seen those programs, and we can see that they can easily relate in increasing the morale, in improving the working conditions. So incentive schemes can also help to create a climate of healthy competition within the sales force. So it can be like, okay, people in the same department, are they are vying or they are competing for better sales of their services or of their products. And whoever does a better job is going to get the best incentive that has been planned for. Let's also look at the disadvantages. So primary amongst these is the potential for rifts or a sort of a division. So the simple meaning of a rift is a kind of a division between employees, which relates to us and them. Yeah. So, okay, we have done so much, they have done this much. Now this healthy competition slowly and steadily deteriorates to something which is undue or unhealthy, which further can create conflict or division amongst the employees, as we can see here. Now, regardless of the increase in sales that is achieved by those who are receiving the advantage of the scheme, this sense of inequality or lack of equity can reduce the productivity of the lower band of the salespeople to the extent that the organization might ultimately see a net loss in the sales. So like what would happen is, as we say, the rich become richer and the poor become poorer. So there is a gap or a rift that is developed. So similar thing can happen here. So the better performers with the incentives can be incentivized so heavily that they become, unapproachable to the lower lot. And the lower lot, who's not getting much, says, okay, what's the point? I will never be able to reach the position of the top performer. They have some special skills. They have some sort of magnetism, which may lead them to perform better. And hence the reason for the rift. Now, pay time is another thing which is a part of the supplemented pay benefit. Now we have completed in a detailed fashion the sales incentive program and looking at this particular aspect. It's also known as payment for time not marked. Yeah. So this is one of the most costly benefits because of the large amount of time off that many employees receive. Now, commonly, which, the time that falls under this heading includes aspects like holidays, vacations, a leave for the funeral purposes, personal days, sick leave, sabbatical leave. Now, I believe we know what is a sabbatical. So sabbatical is where you are, undertaking some educational certification or some educational course. So for example, if you work with a reputed organization and you aspire to take the place of a general manager in a few years, and you approach Wellinkers Institute for a full-time course for 2 years. Okay. So if there is a specific course which helps you in your operations and functioning, and you temporarily stop working and start attending those classes, or you move to an IIM reputed course for 6 months where you will not be able to physically go to your workplace. Now this is what is a sabbatical leave. Maternity leave, which we know, and separation allowance payments for laid off or terminated employees. Yeah. So these are some of the types where an employee is not physically present at the workplace or is neither working virtually from their home. So they are not logging in any productivity hours in developing a product or in developing some sort of a service. Now let's in further detail look at the aspects of payment for time not marked, which we had enlisted in the previous discussion. Now holidays is the first type, and under this falls the national holidays. Now it's a sort of a mandate that organizations generally don't work on these holidays. In India, as we are fully aware, the first is the Republic Day, where India became a republic after being independent. So it's the 26th of January, where we have the Republic Day parades. Yeah, it's a special day for all of us. And of course, this was the 75th year or the Amrit Mahotsav year. So it's been rather special. The other thing which is eligible is the most special day, that is the day of the Indian Independence, which is the 15th of August, and which recently happened with a lot of pomp and show, correct? And of course, 2nd of October, which is known as Gandhi Jayanti. Then we've got the concept of weekly holidays. Yeah. So now, when the Industrial Revolution began in the year 1760, in the land of England, England was the first country in the world to bring this, there was no notion of any holiday. But slowly and steadily, as the humans got converted from robotic resources or mechanical resources to people who were cared and understood for, now they've been converted into precious human capital. So we know that there is a need to take a break or a holiday, correct? So there are either one or two weekly holidays at the end of the week for all employees, depending upon the organizational policy. Like a lot of manufacturing concerns in India had a predominant Thursday off, where Thursday used to be a time when the local distribution companies, for a substantial amount of time for maintenance related work, stopped the electricity. And it was meaningless for people to come to a factory without, you know, electricity. They depended on electricity. So that became a basis of providing a weekly off. Then we've got IT organizations who've got 2 days of weekly off, prominently on a Saturday or a Sunday, because their customers and clients are also unavailable. We've also got week offs. Yeah. So these may not be at the weekend for contact center employees, organizations which cater to 24/7 services off on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Correct. So these are again a part of payment for time not marked. Another essential attribute which is related especially to India being a cultural country, okay, with deep cultural roots, is the various religious and regional festivals which also account for holidays. So there may be a holiday on the occasion of Diwali, okay, so a couple of days every year, depending upon how those particular days come or on the which tithi do they occur. So there are holidays that are given. Other important holidays might be like a holiday for a Holi celebration, okay, or local celebrations like a Gudi Padwa in Maharashtra or a Pongal in the southern Indian states, correct, or a Baisakhi in the northern parts. So these are all candidates where people are eligible for this type of a pay benefit where they're taken off. Now, the other thing is the personal time off with pay. So here, because personal situations require employees to be away from work occasionally, the payment is still provided. For example, if your passport needs renewing and you personally need to visit a particular passport center, or you're applying for a visa and that's only working on a weekday, so you will have to take some time off. Yeah, so many employers allow the employees to take time off with pay for certain reasons. The more common ones may be maybe a death in the family. So your, you know, elderly grandfather expires and you have to be with the family for the bereavement, correct? So those times employers often allow up to 5 days off with pay for the death of the family member. Yeah. Now, another type which falls under this particular broad category is earned leave or privileged leave. Now, every organization has a specific number of days which are earmarked annually for this type of a leave. Now, this type of a leave, okay, which employees earn as they work for an organization for a specific number. So they are on a leave and they can, they are privileged to do whatever they desire without providing a cause. So employees are allowed also to accumulate their leaves and even encash them in case they are not availed. So just imagine if you have about 21 days of leave and you generally take about 10 days. So don't you think those 11 days should also be monetized? So you can accumulate them for a period of probably 3 years and you can apply for an encashment since you would not be availing all those specific days. Thank you.